Have you ever considered the idea that you are the very best Christian someone knows? No matter how weak or strong you may be in your Christian faith, someone is watching you. And you are their best example, maybe their only example, of what being a Christian is all about. You may not feel totally worthy of that observation. You may not even be aware that they are watching you. Still, my friends, they are watching you. And all they know about what it is to be a Christian is what they see in your life, however good or bad that may be. And so the question today is, what kind of an example are you? Do you portray Christ-likeness, or do you portray ungodliness? How well do you represent Jesus Christ to those who are watching you? Or perhaps a more important question may be, how can I do a better job of reflecting the life of Christ to those who are watching me? In the New Testament letter of Ephesians, chapter 4 and 5, we are urged to live a life worthy of our high calling as Christians. In chapter 4, verses 17 through 24, the Apostle Paul exhorts us to put away the old life, the old self, and to put on the new life, the new self. And then beginning with chapter 4, verse 25, continuing through chapter 5, verse 2, Paul gives us a list of directives, things that we're to avoid, a list of vices to avoid, and then some virtues to apply to our new life in Christ. I'm going to read this morning just the last two verses of chapter 4 and the first two verses of chapter 5. And so I'll begin reading with chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 31. And we see these words: let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for the sweet-smelling Savior. In chapter 5, verse 1, we see those words, be therefore followers of God. That word followers is a much stronger word in other versions other than the King James Version. In most other translations, it says, be an imitator of God. The NIV puts it that way, be imitators of God. Imitate God in everything you do, because you are his children. Imitate him. When I think of being an imitator of our Heavenly Father, I'm kind of reminded of that TV commercial. I haven't seen it lately, but maybe you'll recall it, when the father and his little girl are eating a peanut butter sandwich, and he folds his sandwich over, his slice of bread over, And she says, "Why do you do that?" And he says, "Well, my dad always did that, and I always wanted to do everything just like my dad did." And the little girl would say, "That's silly." And then she kind of turns her back to her father, and she folds her piece of bread over, and he smiles. Do you remember that commercial? God wants us to be an imitator of him. We are his children. He is our heavenly Father. We are his children, whom he loves dearly. So my friends, try to imitate him and be like him. Be imitators of God. An imitator is someone who follows the pattern and the will of God, in whose image we are made. He becomes our model, our example in righteous living. And as his obedient children, we want to be like God, to mimic his example, since after all, he is our heavenly Father. Now the word therefore in chapter 5, verse 1, connects this verse, or the verses of chapter 5, with the preceding chapter, especially with verses 31 and 32 of chapter 4. These last two verses of chapter 4 are in sharp contrast one to the other. Verse 31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." While verse 32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." You see, the cluster of evil characteristics in verse 31 are descriptive of the old nature, while those words in verse 32 depict the new nature we find in Jesus Christ. Verse 31 supplies a word picture of a landlord expelling six undesirable tenants. Verse 31 is saying, get rid of those characters. Just rid yourself of them. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice. They are vicious characters which must be evicted from the heart in order for the fullness of Christ to be able to dwell freely and fully in our hearts. I don't know if you've ever been a landlord or not and had undesirable tenants, but I'm reminded of the time that I received a call to pastor our church in Brown County, Indiana. And when I arrived, I was told that the church had bought some property about a mile east of town with the idea of relocating the church from downtown to the edge of town. And the piece of property they had bought had on it a couple small cottages that had at one time been used for tourists who came into Brown County to enjoy those beautiful tree-covered hills, especially in the fall with their beautiful colors. But when the church bought that property, there were some people living in those cottages, renting those cottages, and they assumed now that the church owned the property, that they didn't have to pay rent any longer. And so for 2 years now, the church had owned that property, and these people had lived in those cottages and paid no rent. And so the board told me my first assignment was to go talk to them and see if I could talk them into paying their back rent and start the process of paying rent. And I said, no way, not going to do that. I'm not a landlord. I'm not a bill collector. Why don't you put that into the hands of a realtor and let them collect the rent and pay them a part of that rent and let them be the go-between. And the board thought that was a good idea, so they did that. And, you know, that realtor didn't have any more success than I would have had. People continued living there, not paying any rent. And meanwhile, we drew up plans for a new church. We secured all the permits. We hired a contractor. And we went to the people and we told them graciously, now, you have a month in which to be out, and we're going to start building. And a month went by, and they had made no effort to move out whatsoever. And so we finally said to them, okay, now, Monday morning, we're going to tear these buildings down in order to make way for the new church. And so Saturday afternoon, we brought the bulldozer in and parked it right in between those two cottages. And we let the motor run for a while, a good long while, maybe all night. Because Monday morning, we were going to tear those buildings down. You see, they were undesirable tenants, undesirable characters who hadn't paid any rent and thought they were just to their advantage to live in the church property and collect charity. And Sunday night, we just kind of revved that motor up a little louder, and during the night, they moved out. We went into those cottages on Monday morning, and they were so filthy. I mean, garbage was stacked in the closets and the rooms from floor to the ceiling. We had 2 days' work just cleaning out the buildings so we could tear them down and get rid of them. That's the image we find in these verses. It's that of a landlord who is evicting the undesirable characters in his life in order to make room for the presence of God to live in your heart. And so verse 31 is saying, get rid of those undesirable tenants, those undesirable characters of bitterness and wrath. Jeanette, hand me a Kleenex, would you? When my nose runs and my feet smell, I feel like I'm made upside down. And that happens once in a while. But we must get rid of those vicious characters, evict them from our hearts, in order for the fullness of Christ to be able to dwell freely in our hearts. My friends, evict them. Cast them away. Kick them out. Rid yourself of them. Expel them. Only then can you begin to enjoy the fullness of Christ's presence in your heart and life. Now that we have evicted those vicious characters of bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice, we can move forward in becoming true imitators of God. We are told that we must treat others in the same manner that God has treated us, with kindness, with tenderheartedness, and forgiveness. The Christian life is both a vertical and a horizontal dimension. Here we touch the very heart of Christian experience, namely the attitude and the conduct of God, as we see in the person of Jesus Christ. When we become examples of Christ by being kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, then these qualities of Christ's likeness help us to be imitators of Christ Jesus. Oh, how the world needs to see good examples of what being a Christian is all about. In the home, in the workplace, in our schools, and even in our churches. Remember, the only Christ some people see, the only Christ some people ever see, is what they see in you and in me. And so verse 32 gives us three examples of Christ-likeness. Let's look at them together this morning. First, we must imitate Christ's kindness. A kindness is a rare quality in our world today. A kindness is the ability to show understanding, sympathy, and tolerance. It is one of the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Jesus taught kindness as he dealt with children. The disciples rebuked Jesus because he was taking so much of his time with children. But Jesus showed his kindness to the children by taking them upon his lap and saying, "Allow, let the little children to come unto me and hinder them not, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And Jesus taught us to be kind even to our enemies when he said, "Love your enemies and do good to them." The Apostle Paul said, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." We're to put on kindness as we would a garment. We're to clothe ourselves in kindness. Kindness is Christianity in working clothes. Kindness is just plain Christian courtesy. My friend, a little kindness can make a big difference. A small and seemingly unimportant acts of kindness can lift the spirit of people who are often lonely, brokenhearted, and discouraged. Because of the coldness and the indifference of so many people in our world today, it's especially refreshing when we hear of someone who shows kindness toward others. Too often, in this busy world of ours, so many people hurry on their way with little regard to those around them. Many years ago, the magazine entitled Christian Herald carried this story. On a cold Sunday morning in February, a gentleman was hastily walking along through the snow, and suddenly he noticed a bright little boy standing by the sidewalk with his cap in his hand and his eyes fixed on a spot along the sidewalk. And as the man approached, the lad looked up at him, pointed at the spot, and said, "Please don't step there, sir. That's where I slipped and fell down." And what a different world this would be if all Christians were as thoughtful as that small lad in warning others against danger, whether temporal or spiritual. A small crippled boy was hurrying to catch the computer train, carrying some gift packages under his arm. He was experiencing great difficulty as he manipulated his crutches. And as people were rushing by, somebody accidentally bumped into him, knocking the packages, the brightly wrapped packages in all directions. And the man who caused the mishap stopped only long enough to scold the youngster for being so clumsy and for getting in his way. But another gentleman, seeing the boy's distress, went to his aid. He quickly picked up the scattered packages and went as far as to slip a $10 bill into the youngster's pocket and saying to him, "I'm sorry, sonny, for what happened. I hope this makes up a little bit of your trouble." And with a smile, he went on his way. The young boy suddenly cried out with such an act of kindness and gratitude and said, "Please, mister, are you Jesus?" And no came the reply, "But I'm one of his followers." And so, my friends, the people whose lives we touch all around us need to see the Lord in the acts of kindness we show, the acts of loving concern. If you are unkind, you are wrong. Be ye kind one to another. But another way that we can imitate Christ is that we must imitate Christ's compassion. The word in our scripture, tenderheartedness, is a much more intense word than kindness. It means to be in deep affection and compassion. Compassion is that ability to share in the suffering of others. The Bible tells us that Jesus saw the crowds and he was moved with compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Christ's compassion was illustrated at the tomb of Lazarus when it is said that he wept openly along with Lazarus' family. So genuine was the compassion that Jesus showed at the tomb of Lazarus that the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Jesus was certainly tender-hearted, and we are to follow his example. Abraham Lincoln once said, "I'm sorry for the man who cannot feel the whip when it is laid on another man's back." And speaking of Abraham Lincoln, despite his busy presidential schedule during the Civil War, Lincoln was known often to visit the hospital where the wounded soldiers laid, and he would try to cheer them and encourage them and let them know that he cared about their condition. On one occasion, Lincoln saw a young man who was near death's door, and the compassionate president asked, "Is there anything I can do for you?" "Oh, yes, please," the soldier said. "Write a letter to my mother." Unrecognized by the soldier, the chief executive of our nation sat down and wrote as the young man told him what to say. The letter read, "My dearest mother, I was badly hurt while doing my duty, and I won't recover. Don't sorrow too much for me. May God bless you and Father. Kiss Mary and John for me." The wounded soldier was too weak to go on, so Lincoln signed the letter for him and then added the postscript, "Written for your son by Abraham Lincoln." Asking to see the note, the soldier was astonished to discover who it was who had shown such compassion and kindness. And the soldier asked, "Are you really our president?" The quiet answer was, "Yes. And now, is there anything else I can do for you?" And the feeble lad replied, "Would you please hold my hand? I think it would help see me through to the end. And so the tall, lanky president sat there by his side as he requested, offering warm words of encouragement until death stole away the young soldier's life at dawn. You see, tender-hearted compassion is the language the deaf can hear and the blind can see. And churches filled with compassionate people are like an oasis in the desert, like a hospital near the battlefield, like a rescue mission in the ghettos, like a light in the darkness, like a signpost pointing to better things. Overflowing compassion is a refreshing rain falling upon the parched soil of the human heart, and is certainly Christ-likeness. We can imitate our Lord through compassion. But there's one more thought in this verse whereby we can show Jesus Christ, imitate our Lord, and that is that we must imitate Christ's forgiveness. Jesus taught us about forgiveness in his model Lord's Prayer when he prayed, "Father, forgive us our sins, our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass, who sin against us." Every phrase of that model prayer is worthy a sermon in itself, yet Jesus only emphasized this one phrase by saying, "If you forgive men when they have sinned against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And if you forgive not men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins." General James Oglethorpe, founder of the English colony of Georgia, once said to John Wesley, "I never forgive." To which John Wesley responded by saying, "Then I hope you never sin." Interestingly, when Richard Nixon was president, he said to the draft dodgers during the Vietnam War, "We will not forgive them." However, after the Watergate event, it was Nixon himself who had to be pardoned by then-President Ford. My friends, if we have an unforgiving spirit, we can block divine grace and forgiveness in our own lives. A forgiveness is not always easy, but it is one of the best ways that we have to imitate Jesus to a lost world and to free our own spirit of bitterness. Jesus demonstrated his own teaching by forgiving when he hung there on the cross, looking down at those who were crucifying him, who were gambling over his clothes. Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And following our Lord's example, let our posture be forgiveness. May we lean toward forgiveness. Even before someone asks for forgiveness, may we in our hearts be prepared and ready to forgive, whether they ask or they don't ask. That demonstrates real Christ-likeness. Remember that story in the Old Testament about Joseph, who had been threatened by his brothers? Talk about a dysfunctional family. That certainly was a dysfunctional family. Threatened by his brothers that they would kill him, but instead they sold him into slavery down into Egypt. And years went by, and these same brothers who had sold Joseph into slavery came down into Egypt asking for food, not knowing it was Joseph they were facing. They asked for food, and He granted them their request and finally revealed himself to them. Joseph faced a stiff test of forgiveness. But Joseph chose the path of forgiveness. Even after their father Jacob died and the brothers feared that Joseph might take revenge, Joseph assured them of his complete forgiveness. And he said, "What you did, you meant for evil, but God meant it for good." And he showed that forgiving spirit. The story is told of a seminary student in Chicago who faced a difficult forgiveness test. The only job he could find was driving a bus on Chicago's south side. And one day a gang of tough teens boarded his bus but refused to pay. And for several days they came onto the bus and harassed the seminarian, refusing to pay. One day, as he turned a corner, he saw a policeman standing on the corner, so he stopped the bus and got off and reported what the gang had been doing day after day. The policeman came onto the bus and forced the gang to pay their fare and then got off the bus. And as soon as the bus turned another corner, the gang attacked the bus driver, the young seminarian, and beat him brutally. He reported it, and the gang was rounded up and taken to court and tried and found guilty. And when the sentence was given them, suddenly the seminarian stood, and with compassion, he asked the judge, "Can I serve their time?" The gang members and the judge was dumbfounded. And the judge asked, "Why would you even ask such a question?" And the seminarian said, "It's because I forgive them." And although his request was denied, he took the opportunity to visit those young men repeatedly in jail and led several of them to Jesus. We all stand in need of forgiveness. Jesus' forgiveness in our lives brings peace to our hearts. And our forgiveness to others restores broken relationships and provides healing both for ourselves and for others. May we each one, determined by the grace of God, that we will become imitators of Christ. And we will do that through our acts of kindness, through our compassion, our forgiveness, so that others may see what real Christ-likeness is in our lives. People are watching you and how you live out your Christian faith. How well do you represent Jesus Christ to those who are watching you? The Bible says, "Imitate God in everything you do, because you are His children." We may not be able to do exceptional deeds, but there are thousands of small, generous acts we can perform through kindness, through compassion, through forgiveness, which will help others and bring glory to God. Oh, to be like Him, tender and kind, gentle in spirit, lowly in mind. More like the Savior day after day, filled with His Spirit, now and always. Let us bow our heads before the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, may we hear Your Spirit speak to us today. And may we seek by the grace of God to be Christ-like in all that we say and all that we do. May the attitudes of our heart and the conduct of our lives be that which is pleasing in your sight. And may those who are watching us see, not us, but see the person of Jesus Christ living in us and through us. May we be true imitators of our Heavenly Father. Will you stand now with me as I pronounce upon you the benediction for today? Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.